Welcome in. This is the Views Pod, and it's our last week of the football regular season. It's a sad day, I know. Derek Peterson here. Jordan Hansen joining me this week. Jordan, bud, football is it's getting close to being done.
It's like surprising. It just is gone by so fast, and you know, I was just been sitting here, you know, kind of falling on the sidelines and, you know, doing some stuff, and it's crazy how quick the season goes.
I feel like it goes by quicker every year. Is that just me?
No, it's not just you. I totally agree. Okay. We're just getting old.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. We're going to be doing things a bit differently this week. Typically, you guys are going to be hearing from someone like Greg Smith right about now, but with this being a short week and with Thanksgiving coming up and the last game of the season and all, you guys are going to get a full podcast from my my buddy and my good friend from Iowa, Jordan. He does double duty out in Montana, writing for the Montana Standard, and also on Iowa for Blackheart Gold Pants. It's the SB Nation site, which is apparently the New York Times of Iowa Hawkeyes blogs. Where did that come from?
You know, I honestly don't know. I think that's something that Max Brecky and our other editor, Ben Ross, kind of came up with. But, hey, man, we're just out here trying to do some good work, and it's fun. I'm really enjoying my time doing a little bit of blogging and doing a little bit of sports reporting and stuff, and it's been great. It's been a good last couple months.
Good. I expect nothing but the best, then, out of this weekend from you in particular.
We'll see what I can come up with.
So this game coming up, it's on Black Friday. It's between Iowa and Nebraska. Seventh year in a row that we've done this game. Teams are split 3-3 so far. Nobody likes each other. But is this a rivalry?
Yeah, you know, I really think it is. I know there's people on both sides of this that would really, you know, maybe disagree. But, I mean, I love it. I think anytime that we have two programs and then, you know, the same division and, you know, two programs, you know, that are right next to each other, you know, I think there's kind of a natural rivalry there. And, you know, it's really a lot of fun. And I love this game. Like, this is one of the games that I really look forward to every year. And it's one that I've been lucky enough to go to a couple times, and it's always been fun. It's always been a good game, and you know, it's just enjoyable. It is really enjoyable, and I think it has all the meat to really, you know, kind of blossom into a really awesome rivalry.
Okay, and that's what we heard from Mike earlier this week. Nebraska has played on Black Friday for almost 30 years now. Hasn't always been the same opponent. They've played Oklahoma. They've played Colorado, but it's been on the same day, and it has turned into a topic of discussion a lot of this season because of what happened earlier with Sean Eichhorst and kind of messing with the game and keeping it alive going forward is something that fans really want. How do you feel about this game in particular on this day, keeping it between these two teams on Black Friday? Is that something that you feel strongly about? Is that something that Iowa fans feel strongly about?
You know, I think I do personally. You know, it's just something to look forward to on Black Friday. You know, it's kind of different. You know, it's a trophy game. You know, it really has a lot of those. Again, it has a lot of things that, you know, make it a rivalry. And I think that playing it on Friday, you know, there's not as many games. You know, it's rivalry week. You know, yada yada. Just it makes it special. And I was really surprised, honestly, to see that that they were even talking about that, because, like I said, it's a game that, you know, I think has a lot of, you know, importance. And I think to, you know, kind of keep it that way, it really kind of does need to be on a different day. And I think it made it special, and, you know, I think a lot of people like that.
Okay. So it's something that generally Hawkeye fans in the state enjoy.
Yeah. I really think they do. And you see this in Western Iowa a lot. You know, you're either a Husker or you're, you know, Iowa State fan, or you're a Hawkeye. And, you know, that's really, like, your choices out there. You know, I was born in Western Iowa. And, you know, like, I moved to the eastern side of the state when I was about five. But, you know, just talking to my mom and stuff, and talking to my dad, he used to go to some Nebraska games with my uncle, who's a big Iowa State fan. And, you know, even then, like, I mean, I know those are two different teams, but it's still, like, you know, there's that, you know, the fact that the states are that close to each other and that they're, you know, just across the border. Like, it's just, again, I think people really do care about this game.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I just came from Oklahoma, and you've got Oklahoma and Texas right on the border. It feels like it should be a rivalry, and it feels like a very natural spot for Nebraska to find a rival in the Big Ten, because they really need one. And I don't think you can call Wisconsin a rival at this point, because you can't beat them if you're Nebraska. Let's talk about Iowa for a second, because I think any conversation with this team has to start with kind of the bigger, more high-profile games that they've played. They had that last-second loss to Penn State at home. You had the one touchdown loss to Michigan State, and then you've got just kind of the out-of-nowhere curb-stomping of Urban Meyer and Ohio State at home. But then you lose by, what was it, 25-14 to Purdue? I mean, what's the deal with this team? Is it inconsistency, or what else is going on?
Well, it's bad offensive line play, which is not something you usually hear from Iowa. But, I mean, that was really the difference, at least in the Purdue game. In the Michigan game, Michigan State game, I should say, Iowa was missing James Butler, that kind of, you know, in-your-face running back, and that hurt him. Penn State, they also were missing James Butler. I mean, I'm not going to put that just on him, but I still don't entirely know what exactly happened against Ohio State. I mean, you know, all those fair interceptions were obviously a big factor, and, you know, the defense has really stepped up late. But, you know, against Wisconsin, you know, Iowa had 66 yards of offense, and against Purdue, they had less than 300. It was like in the low 200s or something along those lines. And, you know, it's really frustrating because, you know, you have some plays that work and, you know, some things that work for a drive or two, and then it seems that Brian Ferentz wants to stick to them a little bit too much, and then, you know, it starts to go downhill, or, you know, maybe Kirk gets a little bit too involved with the offense. I don't know. This is a team that a lot of my friends, you know, other Iowa people have really been, you know, struggling to really comprehend and understand this year. And, yeah, I mean, it's just it's a lot of inconsistency.
I don't think anybody understands what happened in that Ohio State game. I sure don't. I keep looking back on it. I'm like, how did that happen?
I don't know. One of those once in a lifetime things. Honestly.
Yeah. No words. Would you categorize this as a lost season or a disappointment? I mean, they've got the chance to go 6-6 or 7-5. I mean, neither of those probably were what people were thinking heading into this year. Maybe.
You know, I think a lot of people were thinking somewhere around 7-5, 8-4. I mean, personally, I was thinking somewhere around 6-6, but at the same time, though, even as I say that, it's one thing to kind of predict that and be like, oh yeah, it's going to be another mediocre year, and then it's another thing when you're actually living it, and it's like, okay, we saw, you know, this team show up against a good Penn State team, we saw this team show up against a good, you know, Ohio State team, and then not show up against Wisconsin, and not show up against Purdue, really. And I mean, so I think that the win against Ohio State made everything more disappointing, because after that, you know, Iowa was ranked. You know, they only had three losses, so they were still kind of in the mix as far as, you know, a good bowl game or something along those lines. You know, the ranking always helps, but and then you just go and drop that game to Purdue and drop that game to Wisconsin, and all of a sudden, you're kind of back to square one.
Right. I feel like that's kind of how Nebraska has gone, kind of. I mean, I'm hesitant to say that, but, I mean, you had the win over Rutgers, and then you had the win over Illinois, and you're feeling a little bit better, and then you just get wrecked by Wisconsin again. There seemed to be the harbinger of death, apparently, in this division. and then Ohio State. So, you know, I can totally understand where that's coming from. We heard from Mike Riley this week, talking specifically about that Ohio State game, and he was saying that film just really jumps off the page in terms of what he saw when he looks at this team. Because, you know, with Iowa, you know that they're going to run the ball, you know that they're going to play tough, physical, hard-nosed Big Ten defense. But Nathan Stanley in that game was a baller. Is that an outlier or a sneak peek at what he can do?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, with Stanley, you know, he's had some good moments, but, you know, there's just been some bad throws. And, you know, he's not always able to find, you know, open wide receivers and open tight ends. And, you know, Iowa's offense works best when T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant, and I'm sure you Nebraska fans will remember Fant. But,
yeah, don't say that name.
You know, but you know when he's able to find those guys, you know, the offense is kind of, you know, able to roll. And you know, he's struggled with accuracy this year, not so much throwing interceptions. It's not that he's really making bad decisions per se, like really just like awful decisions. But it's just more that, you know, he's under duress a lot. And like I said, he was sacked 6 times against Purdue, and that'll make any quarterback skittish. But I think he puts a little bit too much mustard on the ball to use that, you know, phrase. But yeah, and sometimes the guys, you know, wide receivers really struggle to, you know, hold on to the ball, and you know, he really dunks it in there and stuff. But I don't know, it's been an up and down season for him, and it's not helped by the fact that Iowa really can't run the ball.
No, that's never going to help a quarterback. I mean, that's why Tanner has struggled this year. Nebraska can't run the ball to save its life. So last week we started kind of doing a segment, trying to make this fun so that people will be more excited about this each week. This week we're going to do a new segment. And in honor of one of those internet sensations that unfortunately I just found out about a couple weeks ago, it's called Hot Ones. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a complex video series that they do. They ask people, they interview celebrities while eating hot wings. Fantastic. If you haven't watched it, you should definitely go watch it. But we're going to start a new segment this week, and we're going to name it after that fantastic show, Hot Ones. But I'm going to ask you for 3 hot takes of increasingly spicy variety. So let me get your first one. So this will be the coolest of your hot takes.
Brian Ferentz isn't going to reach his full potential until Kirk is gone, and even then, I have no idea how high it's going to be.
Oh wow.
That's I guess I'm starting off a little bit hot here, but they get a little spicy, I promise.
Okay.
But yeah. It really feels that Kirk's kind of hamstringing, you know, Brian, and you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, okay, you know, are you really going to be able to spread your wings with your dad around? But, yeah, so that's my first one.
How much longer is Kirk going to be around then?
True. Well, what is his contract now? 2022, 2025, something like that?
Something like that.
He's not leaving. Yeah, I mean, his seat's ice cold. It is. And the buyout's too big. And, you know, I think there's a $2.5 million buyout increase that is triggered with 7 wins, so...
I saw that, yeah.
Keep that in mind this weekend.
If he beats Nebraska, that buyout goes up significantly. I feel like that's one of those jobs where if you, as long as you're not consistently pumping out 4 or 5 win teams, I think you're pretty safe. Okay, yeah. Second one. So this is your mild take.
Okay. If Ohio State beats Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship, they deserve to be in the playoffs. I mean, you really can't take out Bama or OU or, you know, Miami. But I think they deserve it. I don't think necessarily they get it, but I think they deserve to, you know, be there.
Okay, so that's is that a 2-loss or a 3-loss Ohio State team?
That'd be a 2-loss Ohio State team.
Okay, so you're taking them
They'd be beating Michigan this week and then beating Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship.
Okay, I don't think it'll happen, but I want to see Ohio State lose to Michigan because I think it would be hilarious.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay.
I think we're getting brownie points talking bad about Urban Meyer, so that's good. Last one. Your spiciest take.
Nebraska is probably a better and more enjoyable rivalry for me than Iowa State.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Why is that?
First, Iowa State, there's just something about it that, especially, I mean, Iowa State's having a good year this year, but most of the year, it's just not. And I think there's not a small amount of people that would actually like to see that game go away. It won't because of a whole bunch of reasons, one of them being the fact that the Corn Growers Unions and Associations want that game to continue because they sponsor it. But it's always just so nasty. I mean, at least with Nebraska, it's like, oh yeah, we're Big Ten rivals. We can go with that. But with Iowa State, it gets a little nasty, and we get arrogant, and they get defensive, and it just isn't a whole lot of fun. So yeah, no, I've never really been that much of a fan of that rivalry, and I do like the Nebraska rivalry more than that.
Okay. Seems a little bit like the intrastate rivalry that I just came from in Oklahoma, the way you were describing that. What was the deal with the AHF thing that was going on before the season started? What was happening there?
Okay. So back in the 80s, Hayden Fry started this thing called Ananas. It was in the midst of the farm crisis. And it was just basically American youth farmers. They wear stickers on their helmet, and they help raise money for the Iowa Farm Bureau. And they're able to, raise a little bit of money. But mostly it was just raise awareness and, the fact that, these farmers were really struggling. Suicide rates actually went up. It's also something that's kind of very important in my family because my grandpa was a farmer and my mom was raised on a farm and everything. So it's always been kind of, it's been meaningful to me. But apparently, Iowa State did this thing called AHF, which it actually started with one of the blogs. It was Cyclone Scientific or Wide Right Natty Light, which is the SB Nation blog. But, they started doing a thing called Actually Helping Farmers because Iowa State's like the egg school in the state. And it was just basically like, oh, yeah, we're actually, doing things for farmers because we're, the farm school of the state, and you're the other school in the state that, you have the medical and other things, and that's just, you can't do this because, you're not the ag school of the state. And then Matt Campbell used the hashtag in a post as Iowa State was touring some farm, and it kind of was a firestorm, which I did not do anything to help stop.
It sounds important. Is it an accurate portrayal to say that Iowa State is kind of just that annoying cousin that won't go away, or annoying brother?
Brother. Yeah. They're the annoying little brother.
Okay.
That's what they are.
Makes sense. It probably helps that they haven't been very good lately. I mean, you've got this one good year, but outside of that, they're just not a very good football team.
Right. It's a hard program to go into if you're a coach. I mean, Jack Trice, their stadium is actually beautiful. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to go there, but their campus and Hilton Coliseum is beautiful. And,
right.
It's just they're in a conference with a lot of teams, a lot of historical success, and that helps them, recruit, any of those. I mean, Texas, LPU, even OSU a little bit, and, those are some good teams. It's hard to recruit against those guys, and, they're not always able to get the best recruits, and, they kind of in the baseball sometimes, so it's hard for them to really, get there, I guess.
Yeah, the best guys that want to go to Iowa go to actually Iowa, like Josie Jewell, which leads me to my next question. Outside of Josie, because he is a very easy answer, and I'm not going to give you that cop-out, who is Iowa's best player?
The future Thorpe Award winner, Josh Jackson. No, I was going to say, he's just had a really good season. I don't know if he's actually going to win Thorpe Award or anything, but Josh Jackson's been probably one of the best defensive backs in the nation this year, in my opinion.
Offensive line for Nebraska has been a big problem this year. Can't run it, at all. If Divine Ozigbo doesn't play Friday, I kept wanting to say Saturday, Friday, if he doesn't play Friday, they're not going to have a single guy go over 500 rushing yards this year. Not able to protect the quarterback. And then Lee has tossed a lot to the other guy. You see Jackson doing a little bit of damage Friday, or is there somebody else that's going to have a big game?
Ben Neiman, Iowa's outside linebacker, has actually had a great season as well. Not really going to get much of the way of accolades, but he's quietly been pretty solid. It's just going to depend. Is Taylor going to throw it to Jackson's side of the field, or is he going to attack Iowa's weak side, which is the Manny Rugumba, Michael Ojemudia, and Matt Hankins, all three of whom were beat in the Purdue game. So, is the Nebraska coaching staff and Tanner, because obviously you guys have some great wide receivers, so I really think there's the potential to do some damage if you're gonna attack that side. And one thing you really gotta remember with Iowa is that they're not gonna switch corners to play matchups on your guys' wide receivers. That's not something that Parker does, and it's just it happens. If it does happen, it's extremely rare. Because Iowa had this mentality that, you do your job at a position and everything, else is gonna be fine. And I think if you are gonna have success running the ball, you're gonna wanna go after Bo Bauer, who's had really up and down year. I mean, he has plenty of experience and a lot of starts, but he's really not having that great of a end of the season. He played better in the first half, but he hasn't been, all that impressive over the last couple games.
So what does Nebraska have to do to win this game then, in your eyes?
I kind of mentioned just now. I really think that, you know, if Tanner, you know, is able to keep, you know, hold the ball, and it seems, you know, that he definitely has that capability, and get into his playmaking, you know, wide receivers, and maybe open up the run game a little bit. You know, I think Nebraska has a shot to win this game. I really do. And, you know, I think it's gonna kind of come down to Iowa's defense again, as it does. You know, are they gonna be able to get those downs? Because I think, you know, Nebraska will be able to stop the Iowa offense. I do, just because Iowa likes to shoot itself in the foot so much that, you know, it puts itself in bad situations, and anyone can take advantage of that. So, yeah.
So then, on the flip side, for Iowa to win, you think they, you know, no turnovers, no silly mistakes, and then be able to stop Nebraska's offense?
Be able to stop Nebraska's offense, really. But I think, you know, almost as important, you know, Iowa has to get some sort of running game going. You know, are they going to be able to get Akram in the space? You know, are they going to be able to pound away with James Butler? You know, is Stanley going to be able to find Hawkinson and Fant, you know, on crossing routes, or, you know, things like that Iowa's had this year? You know, will Nick Easley and Matt Vandenberg at the wide receiver spot, you know, step up? You know, will Amir Smith-Marset at the third wide receiver, you know, spot, will he have drops? And it's just, you know, it's with Iowa, it's been so many just like little things that fall up and then just become a bigger and bigger problem as the game goes on. And it's just really strange.
All right. So then who do you see getting those things done and pulling out this W and this kind of sort of rivalry game? Who do you see winning? Prediction time.
I'm going to go homer here and say Iowa, but I put my confidence in that as pretty low. I think it's going to be a really close game, actually. I really do. I predict on a Pants podcast it's going to be like 24-17 with Nebraska getting a late touchdown and then Iowa getting a late field goal to kind of ice the game a little bit. But I could completely see Nebraska, you know, putting it together, playing for, you know, Riley, you know, having a good game against Iowa. Really, I could see it.
I'm in the exact same boat as you. I think it's going to be close. I think it'll be a tight game. All day long, all night long, just because of the atmosphere and what I think that this game is going to mean to the players, to not only send this senior class off right, but to get a win for Mike in this program and whatever happens later on down the road. But they've lost 5 of their last 6. They've got injuries everywhere. They've got questions everywhere. I just don't really see it happening against Iowa, because I think Iowa would be ready and awake for this game. I think Stanley Morgan is going to get Rozier's record. He's going to become the first Nebraska receiver to go over 1,000 yards, which is a little weird to me that they've never had. I mean, it makes sense because of all the option offenses that they've run, but they don't have a 1,000-yard receiver. I think Stanley becomes that guy, but I don't see anything else positive really coming. I'm going to go 27-17 Iowa, so pretty close to you.
I think that's a pretty good take on it, really.
All right, man. Well, that's gonna do it for, I guess, the Views Pod for the season. We'll try to get a few things up and running here in the off season, but I think we will we'll wrap it up on that. Jordan, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey. Thanks for having me here, guys. It's always nice to talk a little Iowa grass football.
Yeah. You want to give a little plug? Where can people find you on Twitter?
At Jordy Hansen. Do you want to yell at me? Or you know, just find me. Find me on Twitter. Just find me on Twitter. That's where I'll be.
All right. And it's Hansen with an E, not an O. So,
Hansen with an E.
Hansen with an E. All right, man. We'll have a good one. Hopefully we'll get a good game on Friday. Hopefully people won't be too turkey hungover, I guess. Is that a thing? I'm going to have a lot of turkey tomorrow.
Go for it.
Yep. All right, man. I'm Derek. That's Jordan. This is The Views. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hopefully we will get to talk to you soon.